Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Dry in the morning, mostly cloudy, better rain chances late afternoon and evening. Sunday's high, 62.
Leaning towards?
Leaning. A soft lean.
Ah. The ever, the ever popular soft lean.
Right. As opposed to the hard lean. But should be dry. Are you smoking smoking this weekend, Tony?
First, I want to just say I have so many jokes about the soft lean, and I'm saying nothing.
Thank you.
My level of self-control is
proud of you.
I've really, really grown with age. No. That I do not celebrate Easter. I don't have any plans of smoking anything, although I could be convinced. But for Passover, I will be smoking everything.
Excellent.
So, but I've got about a month to go there. So.
Okay.
Got time. What does Marcus Bailey have for Easter? What is the Easter meal?
What are we doing? We're doing prime rib on Sunday. So, yeah. We'll have the family over. Yes, thank you.
That's well done. That's well played.
Thank you very much. Yes, we're looking
Mazel
forward to it.
Mazel tov to you. Marcus Bailey, Wish TV meteorologist. Oh, God, I love this show. 31 degrees in the American Standard Heating Weather Center. The time is 6:08. Republicans debate again. I swear to you, I would have talked about it right here on this show. I didn't even know about it. I didn't know. Wish TV did a gubernatorial debate last night. Curtis Hill was on the stage, five candidates on the stage. The questions I thought were better than the debate on Fox 59. And certainly, these candidates were more pointed. I thought it was a very, very bad night for Mike Braun. And I say this because, first, he is now, clearly, he's the front runner, and clearly, the senator is taking hits. Senator Braun took hits from everywhere. That's not so much the story. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. He took hits from Chambers. He took hits from Hill. He took hits from Doden. It's that Senator Braun was terrible at responding to them. He sounded dismissively silly. When the question was asked about, you're all talking about being outsiders. Are you outsiders? Which was an excellent question. It was an excellent, excellent, excellent question. His response, and I'm paraphrasing here, well, I view an outsider as, you know, what you've done most of your life. It's hard for Senator Braun to talk outsider when you've been a senator and you did serve in the General Assembly before that. It's what I've done most of my life. You just spent 6 years as a senator. It's a very hard argument. And there was actually, this happened at the Madam Walker Legacy Center, downtown Indy. And so there was, you could hear kind of a groan from the audience. It doesn't work. And the way he, I mean, he doesn't even mention name, this guy. Like, he was talking about, well, Chambers here and this guy over here, meaning Eric Doden. Eric Doden wants to go the nice guy route on everything. And while there's nothing wrong with being a nice guy, he does not show now in two debates a willingness to stand up for himself or positions. He just wants to be nice. Don't know if that connects. But Senator Braun did not connect. And I'd be curious to see where polling is next week versus where it has been. I think the bigger issue is we've got a month until May 7th, a little bit more than a month. Why wasn't this being done by candidates 2 months ago? None of their teams have an actual rational answer for A, discussing other candidates' issues, and B, discussing policy. Which is why I once again will say, although I think Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch, in terms of the answers, had a very, very good night because she took no hits and she was able to actually deliver in full. She had, I think, the best close of the evening. One of the things that Chambers is taking away from people is Brad Chambers, IEDC, right? He's the Secretary of Commerce, Indiana Economic Development Corporation. He's in the real estate world, has done outrageously well. He owns Leap, right? This Lebanon district and the businesses they're trying to bring in and how the land was purchased and now they're going to be taking water and really the PR debacle that it is. It's a failure from Governor Holcomb. It's a failure from the IEDC in terms of presentation. I mean, it's just a flat out failure. In this regard, this isn't just, oh, you radio guys. Holy cow, real anger in the area that has never been addressed and shame on Governor Holcomb for not addressing it. Brad Chambers is a big believer in this because he's a believer that it will grow the Indiana economy. And when asked about it point blank, he said, yeah, I think it's good. I think it's important. You got to be big. You got to be bold. You got to have bold ideas. He's not running away from it. He is saying, I did this and I'll stand by it and here's why. I actually think for Hoosiers, they may not like the idea of it, right? And so there's some people be like, no, I'm just not going to be a part of this guy. I think for some Hoosiers, there's something, well, at least he's not trying to hide from it. He ain't lying to us. He's not saying, well, I really didn't do this or that. He's saying, this is where I'm at. I think there's a value there. I think it's the better strategy than running from it. That's my take. I think that might give him the win in the debate. But we'll go over it, and we'll see if any of it matters. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
We used to meet every Thursday in the afternoon for a couple of beers, then a game of pool. We used to go to a motel across the street.
This FAFSA thing is getting worse. And I filled it out. I don't know what will happen with it. I assume nothing. But maybe I should say I think I filled it out. And why it matters to all of us, regardless of whether we have kids in college or not. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be here. The phone number 317-239-9393. FAFSA is the free application for federal student aid. Now, that is actually, or that should not be the title. The title should be fill this out or your kid gets nothing. Application. It is an abusive system. And the idea that Indiana wants to kind of force you to do this, well, there's much that the state does that needs a rethink. Well, if they don't fill out the FAFSA, they might not be aware of all the aid opportunities they can get. Maybe the issue is where the aid comes from. And maybe the idea that you need a parent's or anybody else's information down to some level of granular detail that should, at this stage, might as well involve a urine test is awkward. And stop thinking yourselves as righteous by saying, well, this is important. It's not. This is silly. if you want kids to get student loans, well, first, let's make it available in a lot of sectors, private as well. And secondly, I don't think you need to be as invasive as you are. Or so I thought before I filled out the FAFSA. And it's obvious that people who filled it out in years past had to deal with a lot more nonsense. This year, it was about an overhaul of this form that was going to make it easier to fill things out. There would be a less onerous. They would grab more information from the IRS, and they wouldn't bother you who's filling out the form as much. But the changes that government made to the FAFSA didn't come in time. The changes that government were supposed to do to this form weren't complete. So the actual form was not available until January 8th. The form itself was hard to fill out. Sometimes it forced you to start over. There were a whole host of issues. So much so that there have been extensions to when this FAFSA form is due. So many issues created that enrollment is down. Enrollment is down pretty big in some places. Because what people have said is that if I can't get the financial aid, I can't go to college. There's no point in doing any of this. So some people are like, kids are like, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be a part of this. Then there was the admission from the education department that they have incorrect data for about 200,000 of the 1.3 million forms processed so far. What do you mean incorrect data? Well, we didn't properly, take a look at this number or insert that number. So the financial aid that the student might be entitled to, quote unquote, that's probably not correct. So, hey, colleges, why don't you go double check our numbers? You forced everybody to fill out this form and now we got to double check. Where are we going to get the people to double check your numbers? So it's up to the college? Well, let me just say, I try not to feel bad for colleges. You're the ones who have allowed this system to go on for years so you could get maximum dollars because you're not so much in the business of education. Now, are you? There's a good chunk of you universities that really should just fold up shop. Not necessary. Not necessary. So we are now in a place where people have nothing but confusion. Forms may or may not actually make it to the college. They may or may not be correct. I have no idea how the colleges are going to handle this and what they're going to do when they have lower enrollment rates. I have no idea what parents are going to do when they realize, hey, I filled everything out, but my kid still didn't get a student loan, but they desperately do want to go to school, so now I'm working four jobs to make it happen. I will say that the people who tell us that government is the answer and government can be trusted and government is competent, you're wrong. Again.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Your dog knows what you're saying. And I just want to say, for the record, I find it creepy. And it's why I don't have a dog. Also, I have no interest in picking up anybody else's poop. This is me. I watch people with dogs, and they seem very, very happy. The dog's running around. There's a frisbee, or they're just hanging out, and there's a cuddle. Oh, look, look in your face. And then I see these people in very cold weather walking behind the dog, picking up what the dog has left behind. And I'm like, yeah, not worth it. That is me. I don't need it to be you. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. If you're down with it, I want you to live your life and be happy. Me, I look at that, I'm like, nope. I listen to people say we wanted to go away, but we had no place to put the dog. You know, we couldn't afford the boarding and the cost, and our friend was going to watch the so we didn't go. Nope. No. I did it with kids, although I couldn't find a place to board the kids. I'm not doing it with a puppy, even though puppies are very cute. My kids are very cute. Puppies are very cute. I'm not doing it. It turns out, in a journal called Current Biology, they actually did brain scans of dogs and realized that dogs have figured out that certain words mean certain things. You already knew this because you could say, like, I don't want to say it if you're listening to the radio in your house. It's like those people, like, on radio when they'll say, hey, Siri, or Alexa, turn on the lights. And then, like, oh, now I did it. Now your whole house is full of lights because you're listening. And I activated the thing. So you can say, you know what? It's your dog. It's your problem. You could say, want to go for a walk? Right now, Matt Bear just got his coat. Like, it's that Pavlovian. Get it? Come on, that joke was world. Pavlov's dog. We have known these things. That, of course, your dog is fully aware that certain words mean certain things or certain activities, that there's connectivity. Of course your dog does. But now I've got brain scans to prove it. Your dog knows what you're saying. Your dog knows what you're saying, and I think this means that they can actually speak to each other. And if they can speak to each other, they're planning something. And I'm not going to lie, it freaks me out. And I am not going to sit quietly for the canine uprising. I plan on fighting back. I have a sausage launcher, and I'm going to be victorious. And you will thank me for your very freedom. But some of you might like the idea of chewing on a bone and wearing a collar. I'm not here to judge on that either, kitten. You go live your life. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Leadership and obviously his agenda. All three have agree overwhelmingly on the issues that this president has been fighting for the past 3 years.
Wait, you're telling me that President Obama and President Clinton support President Biden? Well, okay, that's very convincing stuff, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. That's every day she shows up at this job. She knows, right? She knows. Every day she shows up, she goes, I can't believe I still have to do this. I'm going to write such a book. Oh, my career at CNN is going to be so great. I wonder if she's negotiating now. I wonder if she's doing a Jen Psaki. The idea that she would have political insights that anybody would be interested in. Stories, sure. Political insights, no. President Obama and President Clinton strongly support President Biden's leadership. Well, that's fantastic. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be here. Great to be with you. I came across this very odd piece of this is Fareed Zakaria with Stephen Colbert. And to the idea that Stephen Colbert is somebody who's going to bring about a conversation that's worthy, of course not. He's let you know what he is. He let you know how angry he is, how bitter he is. Right, he's clear on this. All the late night hosts are, and it's pretty awful. It is pretty awful indeed. But Fareed Zakaria from CNN goes on the show. I guess he's got a new book. Now, if you don't know the name Fareed Zakaria long has done things with CNN, and also was suspended by CNN for plagiarism. Just letting you know who he is. Fareed Zakaria, Joe Biden. Look, there's plagiarism. There are people who engaged in misattribution, right? I forgot to give credit to this person, or I forgot to properly attribute to that person. That's what happened if I have it right to Monica Crowley. She couldn't get the White House gig that she was going for in the Trump administration. Monica Crowley is an absolutely lovely person. I have always felt bad for her. But you write a book, you got to get the things done. Fareed Zakaria, flat out plagiarism. Benny Johnson, plagiarism. And that guy made a comeback. It is, to me, one of the awful sins. You try and give people a second chance, and some people earn it and some people don't. Fareed Zakaria goes on Stephen Colbert's show, and they're having a conversation about the economy.
Looking at the rest of the globe, how does our economy stack against the major industrialized nations right now?
We are doing much better than any of the other major economies in the world. To give you a simple number, in 2008, the Eurozone, Europe basically, and the U.S. economies were the same size. Today, the U.S. economy is twice the size of the Eurozone economy. If Britain were to join the United States as the 51st state, it would be the poorest state in the Union, below Mississippi. So
now, I would double check the number if Fareed Zakaria gave it to me. But this argument that everything is going great because Europe is not going great is a radical argument that is predicated on hating the American people. Because it's not going well in Europe does not mean there is no correlation to the idea that it's going great here. That is a weird bit of schadenfreude. The German word for taking pleasure in other people's pain, which of course is a German word. That's a paraphrase from Avenue Q. You see that? That's called attribution. I brought it around, people. Full circle. Try and get that somewhere else. These two things are not the same. One does not mean the other. It is a maddening proposition. And it's super weird that people keep going down this line because I thought we wanted to be just like Europe. You remember the days when the progressives, all they wanted to do was be like Europe. All they wanted to do was emulate Europe. Well, in Europe, they do this. Oh, look at these Scandinavian nations, they do that. And then you took a look at the data from Scandinavian nations, and you're like, hey, wait a second, this isn't really what you said it was. And Bernie Sanders said, shut up, I'm talking here. And that's what he said. In the United Kingdom, they have put an end to the idea of children taking drugs regarding transgender. None of these puberty blocker things. They will not allow the prescribing of puberty blockers to children. In France, French senators looking to ban gender transition treatments for under 18-year-olds because a report described sex reassignment in minors as potentially, and I'm quoting here, one of the greatest ethical scandals in the history of medicine. You can read that story over at legalinsurrection.com. Okay, let's be like the Europeans then. Let's put an end to this barbarism. All of a sudden, the left doesn't want to be like Europe? All you wanted was the European way. Their economy is crap, but they know to protect children. The American economy is not great, and people are suffering. And American children are suffering because radicals out there think it's okay to feed kids drugs and to put them through unnecessary surgeries to change them for the better. You are the barbarism. Not you, them. Gender-affirming care, you are disgusting. You should be fought. You should lose. Children have to be protected more often than not from themselves and from those who want to engage in the most despicable abusive practices ever. Never be ashamed to fight back against these people. Even the French are fighting back.